On this Sunday, there's much on our hearts and on our minds. And our God, we're glad that you know that we're all a little kerfuddled today. And we are glad that you are our companion and with us in this worship service. And that you're always with us all of the time. We thank you for your presence when we rose up this morning and took nourishment. And we thank you for all of the ways you've been with us since we first rustled around and found our way here or found our way to whatever it is that this day has already brought up to worship time. We thank you for your love and for your care. We are mindful of so much this day. And there's more news that we are aware of that both makes us sad and worries us deeply and gives us encouragement and hope, all mixed between and within and without. We thank you for this community of faith which cares for one another in difficult times and in easy times, and for this community of faith that cares for others, the least and the lost and the lonely, in difficult times and in easy times. We thank you for all of the ministers in this place. And we give you thanks and praise for the Oberlin students, for their gift of song and their spirit and their attention to you and to us, for Caroline this day, and for all that they are in the midst of themselves, moving from school to home or elsewhere, finishing their school year, preparing for what's next. We give you thanks and praise for each one. We worry about those who are most vulnerable in this time for illness and disease. We pray, O God, that no one will find themselves alone, that everyone will find a companion for their journey, and that if we can serve as that person, we pray that you would place us in the right place at the right time. And should we need a companion, should we become ill or diseased in the days or weeks or months to come, we thank you for your companionship, and we are glad that we have others who will move alongside of us and will join us. We pray for our leaders locally and throughout the state and throughout the nation. We pray for every leader in all of the world. We pray for every person in every country and clime, every nation and village. We pray for them all because all together we have a part in making our world well again from coronavirus. And we all have a part in nourishing peace. And we all have a part in worshiping you, although we may call you by a different name or no name at all. And we all have a part in receiving our neighbor and our enemy and finding common ground. For this and more, we offer you our thanks and our praise. For every joy that is ours this day, for our glad hearts, full of your love, certain of your care, for our bodies and our minds filled with your peace and with your courage, we pray, O our God, that you will use us in powerful and wonderful ways in the days and weeks to come. Draw us together for worship and for service. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And we pray all of this in your holy name. And we pray in Jesus' name when we say and then when we heard and then when we hear sung. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading from today is from John 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will come in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished to hear that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?"
And so, friends, join me in prayer for a moment. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of each heart find acceptance in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our stay. It doesn't seem all that long ago, friends, when a then unnamed virus happily hitched a ride on certain animals on the 21st around the 17th of November in 2019, that virus took a turn. It made the turn, and it jumped on to a man. Having hitched a ride on that one person, it made another turn soon enough, and it was jumping from person to person and hitching rides on first a few and then more and then dozens and then hundreds. It made another turn around the 17th of, no, sorry, around the 13th of January, when it made a turn and was in Thailand. On the 16th, in Japan. On the 17th, in the United States and Nepal and France and Australia and Malaysia and Singapore and South Korea and Vietnam and Taiwan. On the 30th, India and the Philippines. On the 31st, Russia and Spain and Sweden and the United Kingdom. And on and on and on until it's landed, if not in every single country in the world, nearly every country in the world. And then just the other day we learned that the virus made another turn. It made the turn into Lorain County and the first known infection. And so here we sit symbolically at noontime, like the woman at the well. Here we are in metaphorically speaking, the heat of the day. And we've made the turn also, but our turn is more about what's on our hearts and in our minds. So we've made the turn to worry and to anxiety and to cynicism and to paranoia and to isolation and to fear and to loss and to grief. We've made the turn to a change. A physical change, a practical change in how we are currently managing our lives and how we expect to manage our lives in the days and weeks to come. And with that physical change, like Caroline and all of the Oberlin students within just 3 days, right? 3 days needing to pack up everything and move out of dorms. I was in the Five and Dime in Oberlin on Friday, and students were in and out saying, "Do you have boxes? Do you have boxes? Boxes, please." And they did, and they gave them all away. Change. We've made the turn into change, but with that change, we've also made the turn into emotional and spiritual transition. And we, not just those of us here in this space right now in worship today, but everyone is wondering, so how do I manage my life of faith if I'm not at worship together in the same place? How do I manage my life of faith if I wonder that God seems absent or aloof or silent? How do I manage my life of faith as I become ill myself or know someone that does? How do I manage my family and my friends? How do I put together enough money to pay for the bills? How do I maintain my friendships? How do I visit my grandchildren, my family, my beloved ones? How do I? All of this change equals a level of transition which is emotional and spiritual and complex. Here we sit as the woman at the well sat, and then Jesus made the turn to be with her. Jesus makes the turn to be with you and with me and with all of us. Remarkable moment that, when the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus met a man and a woman in that time who would certainly not stay alone together, and her certainly not without family members. A remarkable time because this man and this woman were not friends by culture or by practice. She a Samaritan, he a Jew. Really enemies for a long, long time historically. 7 centuries worth of enmity between Samaritans and Jews. Not friends at all. Remarkable that there they are together, that Jesus made the turn to join her at the well on this particular day. So easy for her to not trust him. So easy to defend or to attack or to withdraw or to distance with a joke or to pretend or to minimize or to flatter, to make the turn to blaming or shaming. Jesus says to her, you're a woman who has not led a moral and upright life. And what's her answer? She makes the turn and she says, be with me. Be with me. We know she says that because she says, you're a prophet. She doesn't defend, she doesn't attack. You're a prophet, she says, be with me. She says, I want to be with you, because she says, my ancestors worshipped here. And he makes the turn one more time to her. As she says to him, can I be with you? She says, we know that you are a Messiah, that we know that the Messiah will come. Can I be with you? She says. And he says, yes. He says, I am with you already. I am he. In the days, and as the days and the weeks and perhaps months unfurl in front of us, as some of us, possibly some of us in this space, become ill, and certainly as some become ill who we know or know about, and as some die, perhaps even one who is dear or near to you or to us, as this happens, know that Jesus has already made the turn to join us, to join you, to be with you and to be with us. And so, as a word of encouragement and reminder, make the turn to be with Jesus. Make the turn. Make the turn by worshiping every Sunday through Zoom. We'll show you how. But make the turn by joining one another at 10 o'clock in the morning here in this space with me. And with a few of us who will play music and will do our best to worship with you. Make the turn and place your devotion to God in the form of tithes and offerings and donations in the mail every week, or here in the office every week, or through online banking every week. make the turn and stay in touch by phone and email and conversation with one another and with your neighbors and with your friends. Look out for one another. Make the turn and pray for one another and for St. Peter's and for the council and for the transition team and for the officers and for me. Make the turn and tangibly live praising God, serving us, and serving others. God's already made the turn and sits with us, joins us, and is with us. And so we make the turn too, always to God, always to one another, always to the least, the lost, and the lonely. Amen. Amen.